Okay. Welcome, everyone. It is episode 2 of season 3 of Sour Grapes. If you have not given up on us yet, you know the drill. I am Amy and
I am Etta.
She's Etta, and we are back for potentially a more organized and college football-y podcast for this week, but who knows? It is 1:25 on a Tuesday afternoon, and here we are, ready to talk some crap. Etta, how's your day going? How's your week going? And what are you drinking?
My week is going well, I guess. Well, as well as it can be for a Tuesday, one day closer to the next Monday.
That's right.
It's been good. I've been very productive today, which has been nice. I like to get things done. I've already been to Lowe's today. Met with the bug guy, the pool guy.
And you talked to your blood guy. Walk. Blood. Your blood guy. Blood guy.
Yeah. My blood guy. I have a blood guy, which is really just me in a mush-mouthed way telling Amy I was talking to the bug guy. And my wine today? I am drinking a Pinot Noir because I decided, screw it, I'm going to drink red wine in the morning.
That sounds good. I am having still some of the white wine that I opened last week. And I think especially as the temperature perhaps gets cooler, I'm going to fully embrace red wine early afternoon next week, hopefully. I don't know. It's going to be like 90 frickin' 3 this week for the Baylor game in October. Yeah. And I'm...
That sounds awful.
Unamused.com. But oh well. So anyway, good deal. I'm doing the white wine Sauvignon Blanc from last week. Whoa, boring. Okay, icebreaker. Icebreaker of the week.
Yes.
I did not tell you about this. And this one might be kind of lame. But it speaks to me because I feel like this is something that I am particularly sensitive to. But on a scale from like 1 to 10... How do you rate your laugh? Do you think you have a cute laugh or do you... I think you have a cute laugh. Okay, rate yourself.
Can I break it down by category?
Uh-huh.
Obviously.
Uh-huh. That's what we do here.
I think my chuckle is cute. When I really get laughing, I'm a snort laugher, which I don't know if that is cute or if it's like cute in an endearing oh, what a dork sort of way. I'm going to go with that because I don't think it's like, I don't have a horrible laugh. Like, oh my God, is it a Mitch Hedberg that has the joke about like distinctive laugh? Didn't think that was funny.
I feel like there's a sitcom from my youth where someone has a terrible laugh.
Like Steve Urkel?
Maybe. I mean, it's not Steve Urkel, like, because it's not like a little nerd. I think it was like a fairly attractive person who had like a really awful, just jarring laugh.
I want to say that there's a Friends episode about this.
It's kind of like when Phoebe's the weird runner and stuff like that. Like, yeah. There was some weird thing.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like that's me. Not, I feel like I have the laugh of like someone 5 times the size of me, and I don't know. I'm not self-conscious about it anymore, but I think I used to be. Now I'm just like, whatever.
I don't really care. I feel like if you're laughing, that's what's important.
Right.
I give my laugh a solid 6.5 to 7.
Yeah.
It's not like a fantastic laugh, but it's fine.
Also, it's also just really weird that we're talking about laughs in terms of attractiveness, but this is an auditory, I mean, well, audio, like medium. Yeah.
The appeal of your timbre, is that the right word? I don't know. Like, we were talking recently that I'm like, you know what? Donald Sutherland's voice. I am extremely here for his voice. But...
Yeah.
No, there's just,
I mean, there's something to be said for a voice or a sound that sounds really, really nice. Well, and I think we all also hate the sounds of our voices. And so, like, whenever I began to record podcasts, I still don't really listen to myself, but, like, I was just like, oh my gosh, I sound like a dumb idiot.
I feel like I have to listen to both of us every week. Your voice sounds normal to me because
you hear it, how it always all sounds. The time. Yep.
So my weird. Voice, I'm used to it at this point, but I do notice that my accent comes and goes depending on how much wine I've had.
And I also think that you sound like you could be from Wisconsin a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
My problem is I have family from all over the country.
Right.
And I feel like their accents have influenced. So I say things like "ope" and "you betcha," very. But then I say "y'all."
Yeah. Yeah. My parents were, you know, Missouri and Illinois, and then I feel like I am the only person from my hometown who didn't have an accent growing up, but now I hear it sometimes. I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. We're weird.
I don't know. Like, my grandmother says Warsh.
Warsh. Like, Warsh. Oh, that was Barbara
but
Browning.
She's from, yep, like, extreme southeast Missouri. So. Yep.
Warsh and Arn instead of iron were very big in Marion, Kentucky when I was growing up. Mm. Very big.
Yeah.
Anyway. If anyone has any fun icebreaker questions, send them our way, because I am literally just like
fun and Googling. Appropriate.
And appropriate. Our dads listen. Yes. Shout out to friend of the pod who doesn't listen to the pod, Zach, who I actually liked. He sent us one this morning that was like, would you rather be fluent in 10 languages or be able to speak to animals?
Yes, that was a good question.
That was a good question. And maybe we'll discuss it
definitely
later.
The 10 languages.
Right, because you seem smarter. But it would be nice to know why the hell my dog is yelling at me.
As long as the animals aren't, like, constantly talking at me, right, and I can, like, control it. Because otherwise, you know, maybe the squirrels could tell you there's an earthquake coming, that sort of thing.
That's true.
Helpful for the Mormons.
That's true. Baylor football happened this weekend, allegedly.
It did not happen this weekend.
If I went to bed at halftime, did the game really happen?
If I watched it on mute while I had company in town, did it happen? It did not.
I think not. But realistically, Baylor football did lose their first game of the 2021 season.
It's true.
It was at that cursed Oklahoma State.
T. Boone Pickens Stadium or Family Stadium or whatever it's called.
Right. I don't think we have to spend a whole lot of time recapping this game because that's kind of the purview of, you know, Peter and Frank, yeah, and Coffee and everyone else.
Well, and I feel like it's like the Ted quote from this season where he's like, some games are so bad you just have to watch them at 10 times the speed with whatever the music is.
Right. My big takeaway frustration is simply that Oklahoma State turned the ball over to us so many freaking times and we couldn't make anything happen from it.
Yep.
But hey, yay, fun to watch defense. We always love a good opportunistic D.
That was a very appropriate way to say that. It's fantastic.
Also, Robert Griffin III doing commentary. What are your thoughts? Because I feel like, well, I have thoughts.
I still haven't heard it.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, because I had it muted this week. So my in-laws were here this weekend. They're not big sports people. They will watch the Astros, like, during the postseason if they can get the game, which I guess they haven't been able to get the game. And I assume that has something to do with all this Bally sports crap that's been going on that I see people tweet about. And my mother-in-law went to Baylor, but is not like a big Baylor sports fan. We did watch part of the SMU game because my father-in-law went there So, but I still have not seen a game that Bobby comments on, and that is more the reason why I actually recorded the game, so that I could listen to his commentary. But I feel like he swerved hard into Bob territory, which is what Amy and I call him when he's being a cornball.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think I'm objective enough to have a reasonable take on this. I frequently am annoyed by the people who are doing commentary in a game. So I think that listening to RG3 do it was like listening to my child give some huge important speech or something and like feeling extra tense and like, right. Oh my gosh, this is a reflection upon me, which is not a healthy way to parent. But anyway, so I was just cringing a lot. I thought that it was corny and a lot of cliche. And
I try and keep in mind that maybe he's still like settling.
He's still
in
getting his sea legs. So yes.
He feels awkward. So he's relying on just dorky things to say. So maybe he'll get better.
And it looked like on Twitter, like a lot of people really enjoyed his stuff. I think that probably like, yeah, my fallback is just to like not like the commentary regardless. So
that's true. I do watch the vast majority of games on mute. So
that seems very psychologically healthy. I do not watch them on mute and I just get either enraged or annoyed as heck.
If you watch them on mute, do you not get enraged, or is the rage just a natural?
If I watch them on mute, I don't think I can stay as engaged.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, fine, whatever. I think it was a cursed outing from the get-go, considering how not well his experiences in Stillwater went, and then we also get the team up there where we have historically been bad. So
I will say there was one part where I did have commentary on. I must have like finished eating or something. And the commentator kept saying that Powers is from Australia.
Okay. I wasn't really listening to this, but I kept seeing people.
And I was like, he's from Australia?
No, he's not.
And I was like, he did construction? Seems weird that he did construction and now he's like a business major or something like that. And
are they getting him confused with the Texas kicker? Like, doesn't Texas have an Australian punter?
There's always tons of Australian punters and kickers, I feel like. And I don't know why that is. Maybe there's some sort
rugby?
Of an Australian.
Do they?
Or like Aussie rules football.
Yeah.
But I know like LSU has had several through the years who were Australian. And then I feel like I saw
Dixon.
Dixon
is Michael Dixon for Texas was an Australian.
Well, I feel like I saw somebody say that the Oklahoma State kicker is actually Australian.
Maybe.
And the commentators had it switched.
Maybe. And then like, there's also Isaac Pearson
classic me
for
mistake.
Texas. Yeah. Apparently Texas goes to Australia to get their kickers all the time. Yeah. You know, we're not necessarily always getting the best and the brightest, I guess. Anyway, back to the game that didn't happen. Didn't happen. Be Goldfish. Hard reset. I do like that Aranda had like fire in his belly apparently after this game, for as much as Dave Aranda can exhibit like oomph.
Well, I like it because I feel like he and I can connect in that we both have resting intense face. Mm-hmm. It's calm, but there is anger and fire burning on the inside.
Right. And I also just think in general, having a big and flamboyant coach, not necessarily something that appeals to me anymore in my late 30s. Mm-hmm. Like Stillwater's Run Deep or whatever. Like, I'd rather have a guy who's kind of just steady, steady, steady and thinking all the time.
I like it. Also, like, this, the incorporation of still water there was,
oh,
was good.
Oh, didn't even try. Didn't even try for that one. Just came to me naturally.
Layers.
Other games. So we were, I don't know when all of this stuff, like, really hit the internet last week with Gary Patterson getting so freaking pissed off because SMU used his song.
Some of it was before we recorded, but.
Right. I missed it all. And then, like, Tuesday night, Gary is throwing an absolute
hissy fit,
bitch fit on,
yeah,
on all over Twitter because SMU, okay, SMU needs to be commended for their troll game because they have been killing it, putting up the billboard right outside Fort Worth right after they won, brilliant, planting the flag in the middle of the field, brilliant, taking Gary Patterson's COVID song that he wrote and recorded about taking a step back from football and realizing the important things in life and putting it over like an SMU highlight tape. Mwah! Chef's kiss. So brilliant. Love them so much. And it pissed him off.
I really meant to go back and see if he had ever made any comments on, who's the tiny guy that's the quarterback now for the Browns?
Baker Mayfield?
Yes, when he planted the flag at Ohio State. I meant to go back and look and see if Gary had said anything about that at the time. Because, I mean, like, is it classy? Maybe not. Is it funny and absolutely deserved? And these are still kids who are playing a game.
A game. It's funny as hell.
I have zero problem with it. Like, I wasn't a huge fan of, like, the – was it Ole Miss or Mississippi State where the guy did the dog peeing thing in the end zone? Like, don't do that.
But see, like, it was like a touchdown celebration. I love that. Like, I want to see that.
Yeah. Like, I, in my mind, I don't see how planting a flag, it's one, you're not actually planting it. You're just sticking it there mm-hmm. for a second. You're holding it, not ruining anything. I don't see how that's any different than rushing the field after a win.
It's not.
So.
But also, like.
Which I also have no problem with.
I legitimately, though, think that he is more angry about his song being used. And he also had the whole thing like, I could get lawyers and do, but I've got a Texas game to prepare for. Well, Gary, maybe your time would have been better served trying to litigate fair use and parody. It wouldn't have been. Spoiler alert.
No.
But like he was pissed. And there is nothing that I love more than an
angry
Gary. And I
love that like this whole Gary debacle, kerfluffle, has morphed over the course of the week, or I guess 10 days now. But like right after the SMU-TCU game, he was pissed about Coach Kill getting knocked down and saying that it was an SMU player who did it. Reader, listener, in the video, there are no SMU players even within 10 yards of Coach Kill. And he went on this tear. I mean, in my head.
I've discussed this before how he is like beautiful mind, Claire Danes in Homeland, like sitting at home, posting pictures on the wall, using red string to connect like, you know, incidental things into a grand conspiracy plot. And like, this is par for the course.
Yep.
This is Gary.
Well, and in my head, I'm like, this claim would be like, if, you know, during Malice at the Palace, after Ben Wallace starts the fight, a Pistons fan throws a drink at Tayshaun Prince. Like, that is what the comparison would be in my head. But Gary, so then that clearly was debunked. And so then he moved on to being mad about the big mad about the flag.
Big mad.
And the song.
And the song.
Like, well, it's like I need to justify my rage, so let's find a new one. It's like negotiating with a toddler, honestly.
Oh, Gary, just go look in the mirror and look at your feelings. I think Gary needs therapy. I think that 500 coach in the Big 12, Gary Patterson, probably needs therapy. And I just wanted to sneak that stat in there. But of course,
do you think
this happens the 1 week that I'm cheering for them?
Okay, so last week I said I don't think that his seat is getting hot. But I think that if he continues these shenanigans and continues to lose or mediocrely win, his seat could get warm. He could be forced to retire early.
More than anything, I just think that, like, the shenanigans and the, you know, the rage issues are indicative of the fact that, like, he needs to go, not because he's not a good coach, but because it is impacting him on a level beyond the football field.
Yeah.
Like, it's a game.
The stress is breaking him.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you're looking like the crazy man. Step back.
I feel like this is a thing that long-term college, like coaching in college football, either you become a hardened sociopath, mm-hmm. like Nick Saban, or you just fracture.
Or you're just like Mac Brown at the end of your career in Texas, where, like, you know, you want to have a contender, you want to be in the game, but, like, you're also not going to lose your shit because your team doesn't win or because your team doesn't win a national championship every single year.
That is a valid point.
And
reminds me that I did, like, a whole statistical analysis on Texas wins and losses a couple weeks ago when I was stressed and I needed something to, like, relax.
You know what I do? I eat stale Pirates booty when I'm stressed and I need to relax.
Like, the thought of that grosses me out so badly.
So good.
Like,
it's so good.
I don't like stale popcorn, and you also like stale popcorn.
I love stale popcorn. But anyway, this is just the difference. But I think it's probably also why we get along so well. We're just two very different people. We're just two very different people.
You can have all the smushy snacks, and I'll eat all the crunchy ones.
Yeah, that works. I like stale chips and stuff too. Everything. The staler, the better. Ugh. But, like, I do want to put a pin in that whole, like, Mac Brown, Gary Patterson, you know, personality differences and how you approach the game for the end of this, because I think I've got something to come back to that with. But I'm a little bit stressed out about West Virginia this weekend, not because I think West Virginia Mountaineers are world beaters, but because I think that they've lost two really, really close games, like, kind of in infuriating fashion. And this is either going to be something that, like, has broken them or has just pissed them off so much that they're like, we're not going to do this again. Thoughts? Are we doomed? Because they've lost by, a total of 6 points the past two games.
I mean, I would say in a normal year, in past years, if West Virginia were in this situation, I would say we are doomed. But I don't know that they have what it takes to take their rage
and channel it appropriately
into wins this year.
And it's at home. If we were going to Morgantown, potentially a different story.
Yeah, if we were going to Morgantown, I would say, well, let's go ahead and, you know, help them move their sofas to the front porch. But, or I guess off the front porch.
Poor Bubba. Poor Bubba. That dang picture.
I'm still cracking up about my brother.
It was hilarious.
Bambi saying that, you know, that the sofa's on fire.
We'll tweet that out later so you guys in this auditory medium have some idea of what we're talking about. But it was great. I think that turnout is expected to be kind of good this weekend, maybe. 11 a.m. game always makes me a little bit anxious, but it seems like there's positive buzz.
Yes.
And people are going to show up. And we also heard yesterday that homecoming will be a 2:30 kickoff, which I think is nice, against the Mormons.
Did you happen to see all the hubbub this week about West Virginia being capable of pulling off gold out games?
No.
But we can't. There was some more drama of
us doing a gold out and people being angry.
Yeah. Yeah. And people thinking that last week's showing of fans was not a good showing and it was embarrassing. And part of me is like, okay, I get it. But at the same time, it was hot. It's an early season game. People were sitting in the sun. And it is still a pandemic. Like, I wouldn't necessarily want to go crowd myself with a bunch of other people in the hot sun in a pandemic. You know, I don't know.
My big complaint, and I saw this a lot on Twitter last week, and like, it's all coming from people who I love and who I know are like diehard Baylor fans, but like, there seems to be this notion that you need to wear like Baylor stuff to a Baylor game to have a gold out.
I missed that.
Well, I mean, they're just like, why aren't they selling gold short shirts at McLean? And like, you know, will the bookstore have? And I'm like, you can buy yellow/gold stuff that doesn't necessarily say Baylor football and wear that. Like, if you really want to be able to adhere to the dress code.
Maybe this is my like LSU upbringing showing, but the vast majority of my game day outfits are not Baylor.
Yeah, that's where I am now.
Branded gear.
As a 37-year-old, yeah, that's me. When I was younger, I wanted to wear like Baylor stuff. That is the
correct color.
Yep.
I mean, I don't even think I did when I was younger, unless it was the only thing I had in that color. Because I, you know, young, poor, didn't have money to go buy something new.
Right. I mean, I would wear like a Baylor shirt to football games, and it wouldn't even be like about a dress code or anything, or like what we're supposed to wear in dress code. I'm acting like it's a formal event. But like now, yeah. I'm like, you know,
like, it's I get still to wear clothes
and
mind.
Be around other people. So like, I'm gonna wear something I like that I don't necessarily get to wear as a stay-at-home mom. Like,
you know. I remember the first sporting event we went to when we moved out here in 2018. I didn't even really think about it before we went, but I wore like what I would normally wear to any sporting event. I almost said back home, but like in Texas or wherever. And I was very overdressed.
Oh, yeah.
Like significantly overdressed. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, wouldn't you rather be overdressed than underdressed? Oh, always. At this point in our lives.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my only gripe. It isn't that, you know, I'm sorry, but like if you look at crowds around the country right now, especially like early in the afternoon game crowds and like 11 a.m. crowds, they just don't look good on TV right now. And I think a lot of it is because we are in Texas and it's still like 93 degrees and it's hot and you want to do what you can do to get away from the sun. And I'm sorry if this makes us bad fans, but
I'm sick of all the fan gatekeeping. Like, let people be fans in the way that they are able to be fans.
Right.
You don't know what's going on in their lives or why they're choosing things or what has come up. So don't judge them for not sitting in the sun when it's 90 whatever degrees. If you want to offer them your shady seats and go sit there yourself, do it.
I also just have a very hard time sitting still in one place, period, the end now. Like, I don't do well if I'm asked to, like, just, like, a two-hour plane ride is damn near torture for me.
Oh, my gosh. We were talking this week about my sister-in-law just went to South Africa recently.
No.
One of the flights is, like, 15 hours long.
No, can't do it.
No. No, thank you.
Right. So even if I am at a game.
I don't like to fly to Texas.
Right. I will be there this weekend. I will be pacing the concourse at some point. I will go and see all of the people who I have missed for 2 years, and I will be there and I will be loud, but I may not be in my seat the whole time. So, ooh, scandal. What are we going to do?
Gasp.
Anyway, Texas A&M, huh?
Aggie whoop.
Can you imagine overpaying the heck out of your coach only to once again basically have your season be over on October 5th.
I mean, not only overpaying your coach, but like overpaying him and then extending him before the end of the overpayment.
Begging him to take more money.
Yeah.
To do less.
Like, A&M, I will take some money. I guarantee you I look better in a sweatsuit than he does. Like.
Well.
Would I wear an Aggie sweatsuit, though? Probably not.
The velour sweatsuit? I mean, speaking of trends, really speaking of trends from your youth that you wish you would come back right now, I would take velour sweatsuits being in again.
I think they're coming back, though, aren't they?
Oh, hell yeah.
Are we still just waiting for those? I feel like that's, we're about 5 years before those are like a big thing again. Because if we think about it, that was like Britney Kevin wedding timeline. Mm-hmm. And right now we're still in the late 90s, very early 2000s. Loose denim crop shirts. Oh, we need to get some of those stretchy tattoo necklaces.
Oh, you know, chokers are kind of like back in.
Mm. I feel like my neck size has exceeded what is okay with chokers.
But I didn't like those the first go round. So that might just be one of those trends that I set out.
Yeah.
Whatever, Texas, OU this weekend, College Game Day is going to be there. Blah, blah, blah. The only good thing about this weekend is that one of those teams will lose. And you know how we've talked before about how like the Dallas Cowboys and the Texas Longhorns are the Spider-Man meme, like pointing at each other because the same. I'm starting to get really stressed out that I'm going to have to endure both fan bases being obnoxious for like this entire season and then having success. So I'd really like it if they could go ahead and lose this weekend. Longhorns, please. OU, please. Like, I haven't asked you for much in my life. You robbed me of that 2019 game when we were up like 28-3. Can you give me this? This weekend, can you give me this? I don't think they're listening.
I don't know that they're capable.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they look last like year, too.
Last year, they actually got beat by K-State. And this year, in a year where K-State is arguably worse than they were last year, they still only barely beat them.
With a crappy call, too.
Yeah.
With some, like, shady crap.
They had some Big 12 refs to help bolster their entry to the SEC.
I mean, if I were maybe the Big 12 refs theorist,
are ready to get rid of them too.
Do we have an end date yet? Do we know when they're getting the hell out of here?
We do not.
Okay, I'm done with them. But anyway,
media rights through 2025, I believe.
I'd like them to be gone sooner. Can we talk? Because this is what has gotten me most fired up over the past couple of days. Urban frickin' Meyer. Horny, yes, on Maine. Loses a game to go 0-4 in the NFL. Does not travel with the team back to Jacksonville after their loss. Stays in Ohio. Goes out for a meal with his grandkids and ends up touching the butthole of some strange co-ed in a bar.
I somehow missed that whole, I guess I didn't realize that they like went out for dinner with the grandkids first.
Oh, he said that. He was at a quiet dinner with his grandkids.
And then I saw that Shelly was at home with the grandkids because she was tweeting about it. And she was also tweeting about corn cobs, which that's a whole other. Oh, Shelly. Bless your heart. But who was he out with? I mean, obviously he didn't take his grandkids to the bar.
I don't know. I've caught bits and pieces here and there. I also think it's important to note that like he's in hot water right now with Jacksonville, not necessarily because he's a hoe, but because he's a hoe who's coaching a bad team right now.
Yeah. And you can choose one or the other. You can't be both.
Right. Which, you know, also just speaks to the hypocrisy of bullshit organizations who continually hire coaches who have sordid pasts, but they'll do it in the name of winning.
But does he have this type of sordid past?
Touching buttholes, I mean, I've always in disliked, a club? No. But like being I've always disliked him, a shady person? Yes.
Yeah. I've always disliked him because I felt like the way he left Florida was really shady. And then the way he left Ohio State was pretty shady.
And the way he turned the other way when Zach Smith was doing whatever he was doing to his wife and his family.
Yeah. Yeah. That too.
Yeah. I
just don't like him. I think he's a slimy dude, but
he's a shithead. He's not a good person. He is a philanderer. And maybe not even that great of a coach.
My thought is like, if you are doing this in public in a town where you used to live after dinner with your grandkids in a Ohio State branded shirt, because nobody's going to recognize you for sure. You know, what have you been doing when people aren't around?
You know, some people think that he wants to get fired from Jacksonville to go take the USC job. I don't know why you would want to go from pro football back to college in this day and age with name, image, and likeness stuff, with recruiting, like 24, there is no off season for college football.
With how big of a disaster USC is right now, because I was looking through the scores this week. So the USC has the distinction of having the second most points that they've scored so far in FCS or FBS during conference play, but also the distinction of having the second most points scored against them in conference play.
Is that good?
Like, we're not very far into conference play, and they've had 115 points scored against them.
Seems not good.
Yeah. Like, the only school that is beating them in terms of these metrics, which this is, like, the most bullshit metric, I just made it up, but is Samford. The Samford Bulldogs.
I remember playing them when I was at Baylor. And I was like, which actually, what?
I think they have, like, a fantastic student support section. I think they're called, like, the Red Tide or the Red Sea or something like that. Not the Red Tide. No, it must be the Red Sea, because it's, like... You know what? I'll have to ask my brother and sister-in-law because they went there. But like, they're very supportive of the team. Also, a red tide is a real thing with the algae.
Sure.
With an algae bloom. Mm-hmm. Sure is. All right. Roll Tide. It's the only time I'm ever going to say that.
Well, Crimson Tide is like disconcerting to me also. So anyway, that's just me.
Maybe I don't understand why they're the Crimson Tide and they have an elephant.
I've got lots of questions and probably not going to have answers to any of them. But I think at the end of the day, we can all agree that Urban Meyer is a POS. And like, the appropriate punishment is for him to have to stay in Jacksonville, be miserable, not have his locker room trust him, and like, have Shelly be up in his SHIT every second of every day. This is what I want. And Emmanuel Acho, with his bad takes, needs to shut up with his bad takes.
See, the only person who needs to shut up this week with their bad takes?
No. Who do you have in mind? There are lots of bad takes out there on Twitter.
Mine was Sage Steele, but...
Oh, Lord, shit. You know, I did see someone suggest that they just have a show together, and it'd be easier not to watch. And also, like... I liked Emmanuel Acho. Acho? He seems like a fine person.
I think it's
Acho. My problem is when he gets, when he begins to pontificate and like take himself too seriously and think that he speaks for an entire group of people.
He speaks to the experience.
Right, without having the experience. And our friend Omegas, at Omegas on Twitter, yes, had a really good like think piece on this a couple of months ago. And that's kind of when... when I was presented with alternative experiences and an alternative point of view about Emmanuel, and it made a lot of sense to me. And I'm just like, yeah, I can't really like take this guy seriously in some ways. Football, yeah. Cool. I'll take your analysis there, but telling me that I shouldn't deride Urban Meyer for his public behavior because I might be fondling buttholes of women to whom I'm not married in private, like, you lost me there, dog. Should we fire Dave Aranda for losing a game in Stillwater? Are those the sour grapes of the week? The Baylor fans who are down bad after a loss?
Yeah. One, that's the most stupid thing I've ever heard. Even if it was said in jest, don't do it, because 6 years from now, Amy and I will come find your tweet and we will make fun of you.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Because that's what I do to the people who, you know, a year and a half into other coaches' tenures claimed that the coach should be fired. We mock them. So we will mock you. Yeah. No, that's just stupid. Because, I mean, honestly, last year doesn't count. Last year was not a real season.
And even still,
any contact with the players.
Did better than Matt Rhule's first season. And by Matt Rhule's third season, we were in the Big 12 championship game. So, like, if we're on a trajectory that is, like, predictable here, we're doing pretty well. And even if we're not, we're doing pretty well.
Like, my one complaint is that it seems like our mistakes are just sloppy mistakes.
Yeah.
Like, so many penalties and not making the best with what we're given when we get turnovers, right? That sort of thing.
We're not being opportunistic enough.
Fire Aranda? Are you kidding me? Dummies.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, and not to go all like grief juke on everyone, but like at the end of the day, sports are fun. Sports are entertainment. And in my old age, it has been increasingly difficult for me to like work myself up over a loss and like be really, really upset and like let it ruin any part of my life beyond like when the whistle blows. But like if your family's healthy, if you're healthy, if like if you have a home, if you have food, like get over it. It's not freaking worth it. And like,
no.
Dear God.
There's so many other things to be mad about.
Yes. Like our junior senator from Texas shitposting and like thinking that's his job now. Anyway.
Remember, there was a moment in time when I was like, oh, you know what? Maybe he is better than I thought, because he was like holding out against the former POTUS. Before he was the POTUS, but, you know, refusing to endorse him or whatever. But then I think he was just posturing at that point, and here we are.
Okay. Do you have any additional comments this week? Anything you're watching for? Anything you want to see?
Honestly, I have not even looked ahead to see what the games are this coming weekend. I know that it's OU-UT because it's always the weekend of my sister-in-law's wedding anniversary. They are people who claim to be sports fans but got married on that weekend. Everyone was mad.
And then like TCU Texas Tech tonight. Or not tonight, but like that's the nighttime game, and that's why Baylor and West Virginia are playing at 11 a.m. also.
Yes, because TCU and Tech are having amazing seasons, and we should definitely watch. But you know what? Are they in Lubbock? Will we get to see the Fox, maybe?
Ooh, I don't know.
I don't know either. That's something for us to find out, I guess.
Maybe we should do our research.
I know. Put a pin in the Aggies talk. You had something else to say.
Oh, well, and like the Mac Brown being happy and just like wanting to be a contender all the time versus like being a Gary Patterson who loses his mind and like devolves into a miserable human being. And I'm just saying, like, I don't know, man, like be a Mac Brown in this situation. there is an argument against, like, someone getting paid an exorbitant amount of money to be, like, happy just to contend every year, but...
Yeah.
It's all for the price of entertainment. And if college football fans could be a little bit more reasonable, everyone could just have fun. Everyone could just have fun.
Like, and I will never say that, like, basketball fans are more logical and well-balanced than football fans, because everyone's insane in their own special way. But nobody expects the college basketball coaches to make it to the Final Four every year.
Right.
That's just insane. That doesn't happen. Even the best teams don't make it to the Final Four every year. So stop having insane expectations. Like, should you be satisfied with contending every year? No, you should always want more. Should you be content with contending every year? Yes.
Right.
And there, I think that's where the distinction lies. Satisfaction versus contentment.
Right. Well, and again, the distinction is, like, realizing that something is entertainment versus something is, like, your sole purpose for existence. And if we have learned nothing from a pandemic and the past 18 months, I hope it's that we should all just take a step back and appreciate the good things in life, like Gary Patterson told us to. He should listen to his own advice. Poor Gary. Poor Gary. Gang, we are still putting the peer pressure on Etta here to miraculously fly down for the Texas game, but...
The topic has been broached. It will remain to be seen because I don't... Well, that weekend is a weekend that shoulders both months, so I don't quite know the schedule.
Right.
On both sides of the weekend. So, yeah. It's not out of the question, but it's not a distinct possibility. So,
Scott Graham's going to be in town.
I know. I mean, that's honestly a bigger pull than Texas, but.
Maybe make the horns cry, meet Scott Graham, you know, whatever. Anyway. Send us your icebreaker questions for next week's podcast, when we will hopefully be talking about becoming bowl eligible at homecoming.
Woop woop.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be nice. That would be fun.
Wonder if we'll bring up soaking at all next week. Probably not. That would be very uncharacteristic for us.
Yeah, we definitely didn't very briefly mention it this week.
I have no recollection of that, so it must not have happened. Anyway, until next time, I'm Amy.
And I'm Etta.
And this is Sour Grapes, keeping it real, one episode at a time. Bye-bye.